Today we have the privilege of studying the sixth chapter of Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Vav. This chapter is a contained unit. It deals with the genealogy of the tribe of Levi. As is the case of the other chapters in this section of Divrei Hayamim, which deal with genealogies, this chapter also doesn't simply list names, but it also tells a story in the way in which it lists names. The first element of this story, or narrative, is the placement of the genealogy of Bnei Levi. Note that the genealogy of Bnei Levi here is located after the genealogy of the tribe of Yehuda, and is in fact located in the middle of the other tribes. In other words, the tribe of Yehuda comes first, then together with Shimon, then we have Levi, and then we have the mentions of the genealogy of the other tribes. So that Levi is presented here as one tribe among the tribes. The concept of the 12 tribes of Israel as a corporate unity is one that is stressed many times in Divrei Hayamim, despite the fact that by the time Divrei Hayamim is written, in the time of beginning of Bayit Sheni, the 10 tribes are effectively lost. Nevertheless, that concept is retained as a central one in the consciousness of the writer and the consciousness of the Jewish people of his period. The list of the genealogy of Bnei Levi also contains that idea of burying within it certain salient characters. For example, the famous prophet Shmuel, who was a member of the tribe of Levi, is mentioned only as part of the larger genealogy and is not highlighted or given a certain pride of place at the top of the genealogy, but was rather mentioned within the genealogy. The genealogy begins, Bnei Levi, Gershom, Kehat, Umerari, the three sons of Levi, from whom all the tribes of all the families of Levi branch off, Gershom, Kehat, Umerari. Then it goes on and lists the descendants of each of them, Ve'ele Bnei Gershom, Livni, V'Shim'i. The sons of Gershom are Livni and Shim'i. Uvnei Kehat, Amram, V'Yitzhar, V'Chevron, V'Uziel. The four sons of Kehat are Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel. And then in Bnei Merari, Machli, Umushi. And then it goes on and lists the subdivisions of the various tribes, especially the tribes of Gershom, leaving down to Shmuel, then the descendants of Merari. And then we have in Pasuk Tetzayin the following two Psukim, Tetzayin and Yudzayin, which are key to understanding the whole theology of Divrei Hayamim. Ve'ele asher ha'amid David al yedei shir beit Hashem mimenoach ha'aron. These are those whom David established by means of song in the house of the Lord from the time when the Aaron was placed there. Vayu misharetim lifnei mishkan ohel moed bashir ad benot shlomo et beit Hashem b'Yerushalayim vayamdu chemishpatam al avoratam. And they would serve before the ark, before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting in singing, until Shlomo built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they stood as in their established positions on their work. And this concept that it is David who established the singing of the Levi'im in an ordered, systematic fashion is a central aspect that Divrei Hayamim stresses over and over again. David is credited with having established the singing of the Levi'im in an organized way, and Divrei Hayamim here recognizes that that was done before the Beit HaMikdash was built. David brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. When David brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, he also established orders of Levi'im who would sing in an organized fashion. That concept is central, and one of the questions is, why is it so central? It's almost equated in Divrei Hayamim with the sacrificial work which the sons of Aaron do, which Moshe established. So Moshe, there's a sort of table that one can establish. Moshe established sacrifices for the sons of Aaron. David established singing for the sons of Levi. Why is that so central? One of the ideas in Divrei Hayamim is that we owe an enormous debt of gratitude to God for his assistance to us throughout the generations, especially in the return to Zion in the time of the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Because of that idea of gratitude, singing is so central. And so it's important to say from the time when David HaMelech begins the first golden age of the Jewish people, At that time, we begin to express gratitude to God by means of the singing. It's an organized, official, established singing. That singing is what we have preserved today in Tehillim. And that continues down to the time of Baal Divrei HaYamim as a way of expressing the Jewish people's gratitude for God's kindness to them. Now, it lists those singers, and then it goes on in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'acheyem ha-Levi'im nitunim l'chol avodat mishkan beit ha-Elokim. So alongside the singers, there are all the other Levi'im who are given over to the work of all the other types of work that are required in the tabernacle of the house of God. In other words, before the Beit HaMikdash is built, there is the Mishkan in Yerushalayim, and the Levi'im serve there. Then Pasuk Lamedalet, V'aharon uvanav maktirim al mizbach ha'ola v'amizbach ha'ktoret l'chol melechet kodesh ha'kodshim ulechaper al Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Moshe eved ha'elokim. Aaron and his sons would offer incense, would offer smoke, would burn sacrifices on the Mizbach HaOlah, on the altar for sacrifices, Ve'al Mizbach HaKtoret, and on the altar for incense, L'chol Melechet Kodesh HaKodashim, for all the types of work that were required, including the work in Kodesh HaKodashim, in the Holy of Holies, U'lechaper al Yisrael, and to atone for Yisrael, K'chol asher tziva Moshe Eved HaElokim, according to all that Moshe, the servant of God, commanded. Here we see the word maktirim used both to indicate the work of ktoret, the work of offering the incense, and maktirim can also mean simply to offer sacrifices that turns them into smoke. The word maktirim does not always refer to ktoret. And then lists the descendants of Aharon. And here in listing the descendants of Aharon, it goes along, it continues in a way to express that theme of the unity of the 12 tribes. Because it doesn't simply list the descendants of Aharon, but it indicates that the descendants of Aharon received allotments, or arei kohanim, in all the cities of Israel, in all 12 tribes of Israel. Ve'ele moshevotam l'tirotam b'gvulam l'bnei Aharon l'mishpachat ha-ke'ati ki lahem hayah goral. It lists those who descended from Mishpachot HaKe'ati, and where they settled. And we're told that they received cities in Yehuda. And those cities include Hebron, Livna, Yatir, Eshtemoa, Chilez, Devir, Ashan, and Beit Shemesh. All these cities from the tribe of Yehuda are given over to the Kohanim. And then it lists in Pasuk Memhei the cities from the tribe of Binyamin who are given over to the Kohanim. Tells us which section of the Kohanim lived in those cities. It then lists this in Pasuk Mem Zayin, the descendants of Gershom who lived among Matei Yisachar, Matei Asher, Matei Naphtali, Matei Menashe. The tribes of Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Menashe also housed Levi'im. And then we're told in Pasuk Mem Chet that descendants of Merari lived among Reuven, Gad, and Zvulun. So that each tribe effectively becomes a tribe that houses some element of the Kohanim and of the Levi'im. So that whether Levi'im or Kohanim, each of those groups get housed among the different tribes of Israel. The key point here is that Levim and Kohanim are not isolated, but they live among the different tribes of Israel, and all the tribes of Israel have a share in supporting the Levim and Kohanim without exception. That's a central idea of Divrei Hayamim. Levim and Kohanim are not isolated. They serve a central function. They are housed among the tribes of Israel. It's an idea that is expressed in Torah, but is emphasized in Divrei Hayamim.